from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. It's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email us your questions and answers this hour to anything@kera.org. And that's where we got these emails. Julie wants to writes and says, my workplace is trying to implement a recycling program for cans and bottles, but we've been unable to find a contractor who will pick them up unless they are rinsed. Is there anyone in the DFW area who does not require rinsing? Sean, writing from, it looks like, Tarrant County, says, I want to take a year and travel the United States. I might have to take 2 years because I really want to see the best that each state has to offer. He asks, where can I find the perfect or most ideal travel plan? I want to be in each state at the best season to enjoy the scenery and the events it has going on. He says, I've tried to search the internet, but the wealth of information is so great and so full of marketing, I've given up. And he adds, I hope the smartest audience in radio can help me. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Sauna asks, how do they get pre-constructed portable storage sheds that are loaded on 18-wheelers off the truck and into a yard? Dan, who says, I'm right-handed, writes and says, I was kind of surprised back during the Ross Perot presidential run when I noticed that all three candidates were left-handed. He says, anyway, I was surprised because the conventional wisdom is that lefties are at a distinct disadvantage in our society except in baseball and at toll booths. Now I've noticed, he adds, that both McCain and Obama are left-handed. Al Gore is left-handed, but he was done in by the Electoral College. He says, I know that firstborns are grossly overrepresented as presidents. Over half the presidents have been firstborns. But what about lefties? If you're a left-handed firstborn, are you a shoo-in? Call us, 800-933-5372. Jason in Plano says, I know this question has been asked and answered, but I can't remember it. Welcome to the club, Jason. He says, why do some laundromats have the word laundry displayed upside down? He says, if memory serves, it has to do with the services provided, but can't remember the specifics. Actually, I think the person whose father created that marketing campaign called one time or wrote in, and he just did it to get attention, and it obviously works. And Juan says, I just heard today, I guess on the show last week, that you can stream online radio through a phone with internet access. And Juan asks, is it capable with all PDA smartphones? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Up first today is Bill in Springtown. Hello, Bill.
This is Sue.
Oh, Sue. Yes, yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was wondering...
Sorry about that, Sue. It says Bill right here, but...
That's okay.
Happens.
I'll go by Bill. Hey.
Okay.
Okay. I was wondering, the mosquito spray trucks, what are they spraying this time instead of DDT? And I'm wondering what the long-term effects would be. I mean, you can't answer that, obviously, but...
Well, perhaps I could, but I can't, actually.
Give it a try.
So what are they spraying and... What, if anything, are the possible effects?
Yeah.
I know that they're pretty specific on the press release on what streets are bordered. Mm-hmm. And they say bring your pets inside and cover or bring in food bowls for your pets and stuff like that. So it can't be, you wouldn't want to drink it, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll ask.
I also had two answers for the pre-built storage sheds. Those are tipped off the truck.
They just tip them and they just fall right off?
Yeah, they slide right off.
Oh, okay.
It's a controlled slide, but okay. Yeah. And then also, Home Depot has started a program where they're going to start recycling the compact fluorescent bulbs.
Oh, okay.
So anybody that had that question.
Sure, perennial question.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
So, thanks
very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Up next is Roderick in Duncanville. Hello, Roderick.
Yes, I have an interesting question. I keep driving back and forth from Florida to Texas.
Right.
And back in the 70s, it was a big craze about CB radio. And all of a sudden, did this disappear? And I know the cell phone does not replace it.
Sure.
Because, you can't get people's numbers. So I would like to know if somebody knows, why did the CB radio... out of fashion? The only people that use them now maybe truckers.
You mean for sort of the consumer traveler?
The consumer. Remember,
right.
Back then everybody wanted to have one.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
That's it.
All right, we'll ask.
I listen.
Thanks. 800-933-5372. Up next is Bill in Dallas. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had a container delivered.
Okay.
And tipping is true, but it was a little bit more than that. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, on a construction site, a dump truck. They have a hydraulic lift
mm-hmm.
that basically tilts up the back part of the vehicle. Well, that's kind of how it worked. The guy brought it, and he had an hydraulic lift that tilted the whole bed up that the container was on.
Just like those big dumpsters
right,
that you...
Right, and it yeah. slid right down the dumpster, and then when they came to pick it up, he had a winch that basically hooked onto the container, and they just winched it back up the tilt back up onto the bed.
Now is this a so this isn't a storage shed you'd put in your backyard and keep your lawnmower and stuff in?
Well, actually it was.
Okay.
We tore down our old garage. We live in an old house.
Okay.
And we built a brand new garage, and I needed something to put everything in.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
While they were doing the construction. And so he pulled up into the backyard and tilted up his bed, and it slid right off. And our next-door neighbor has one of those sheds, which is probably more like what the caller was talking about.
Right.
And it was done exactly the same
okay.
way.
Great. So. Well, thanks very much.
All right.
I like it when we can solve one early in the show.
Absolutely.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. A couple more questions here. Lenny writes and says, our TV converter box directions said an outdoor antenna is necessary to make the converter box work. And Lenny asks, is that true? We've been using rabbit ears to pick up our stations, not an outdoor antenna. Call us, 800-933-5372. Let's see. Nick says there's a parking lot near Crockett and Bryan Streets in downtown Dallas that charges for public parking like numerous other sites. However, on the street adjacent to this lot, there were no city parking meters. There were signs from the parking lot company that indicated that there was no free parking on that street. The street parking spots were numbered, and there were instructions to pay for the parking in the same box that we used for the spots in the lot. So isn't a private company charging for parking on public streets? And if so, is that legal? 800-933-5372. Up next is Jim in Fort Worth. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jeff. I've got an answer for the lady who's looking for somebody to take the recycling from her office.
Sure.
I work for waste management, and within the last 2 months, they've started a program where they're taking single-stream recycling, and we just set up a big project, about 2,000 recycling boxes for some of the office complexes and the towers in downtown Fort Worth around Sundance Square. And,
taking like glass and plastic and cans and things like that.
Glass, plastic, and papers as single stream.
Okay.
Which is something that really is really helpful too.
And does it need to be rinsed clean? I think that was her main issue.
Not rinsed clean. I mean, obviously you try to empty it out.
Right.
Rinsed out? No.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, waste management. Thanks very much, Jim.
And they'll take the. They'll also take the incandescent lights or the lights also.
Oh, okay. Now let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, when a company sets up. When a company contracts a business to come in and take recycling, does the company get paid by the recycler, or is it vice versa, or is it just a wash?
It depends on what it is.
Okay.
If it's single-stream recycling where it's mixed together because of the sorting that's required,
right.
There's nothing that comes back. If
okay.
it's cardboard, there can be some money coming back.
Okay.
But plastic or cans, well, actually aluminum cans. If it was just straight aluminum cans separated
right.
out already, you could get some money back on that.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks very much.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Jenna, writing from Texas, okay, says, my question concerns cutting paper with scissors. Why is it that when you attempt to cut multiple sheets of paper in one fell swoop of the scissors, you end up with a line that is not straight no matter how hard you try? Well, we'll try to answer that one for you at 800-933-5372 or via email to anything at kera.org. Up next is Daniel in Dallas. Hello, Daniel.
Hi. My question was about I went to the beer store yesterday
mm-hmm.
and bought a bottle of wine, and they insisted that I leave with a brown paper bag around it. And this has happened before with beer or liquor, but I didn't understand why exactly it was that I should need a bag around it. I was wondering if that was maybe like a moral issue or something, but I don't know. It shouldn't make much sense to me.
Well, beer and wine, I think, are whether you can sell it or not, are covered by individual precinct rules in
mm-hmm.
Dallas. Like some areas of Dallas are wet, some areas are dry, like some neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. But yeah, some, you know, they have those little bags that when you buy the single or maybe the supposed single serving of a drink, it slides really neatly into the bag. And that's a good question. I've wondered that as well. Let's see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org from the answer stack. We had this question about dog allergies. One more suggestion on that from Suzanne, who says, I started giving my border collie pet enzymes for his itchy skin, and they've worked very well. He used to scratch nonstop. Skin was almost raw. And Suzanne says, the brand I use is Enzymes, N-Z-Y-M-E-S. And there's a website, Enzymes, spelled just like that, N-Z-Y-M-E-S.com, with information on that. About the question of whether or not you could paint your swimming pool black to save on, I guess, heating costs, a couple of different answers. Bassam in Dallas says, someone asked about the pool, why can't it be black so it would save energy? He says, I'm a lifeguard. It's hard enough to see people when they are underwater when the floor is white. He said, if the floor is black, it'd be impossible, no matter what the skin tone, because the black would overpower the magnification of the water, and it would be very difficult to, I guess, keep tabs on people's safety. Kevin in Grapevine, however, writes and says, I have a black surface pool. We chose it specifically to increase the swimming season, and it works for almost a month on either end of the summer season. The pool is only 6 feet deep, but I'm putting up shade sails over the pool already this year to keep it from staying too warm. He says, I swim along the bottom of the pool, and on a hot, sunny day, I can really feel the difference in the heat radiating from the bottom upon swimming from one shaded area to one getting full sun. In answer to the where was the first half-price books debate, it's been going for a couple of weeks on the show, Mel says, the first half-price books was on McKinney Avenue just off Knox, back when it was still a low-rent hippie neighborhood, his terms here. He says, the founder was an engineer at Texas Instruments who started it as a part-time sideline because he couldn't stand the thought of trashing books. And Dave in Denton agrees. The first was in an old laundromat on McKinney near Knox, around the corner from the Quiet Man. The owner would have a couple of jugs of wine in the early days when I would go in, and he'd say, hey, hippie, have a glass of wine. Says, I bought lots of great records there in the early 70s. Well, I think they still have lots of records. So check out Half Price Books. Let's see. Up next is Todd in Dallas. Todd, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, I just had an answer, I think, for the travel question you had.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some travel myself, I think TripAdvisor has some great information. It's pretty concise, as well as Lonely Planet, both online and manuals on bookstores.
Okay, so you can like sort of figure out what is cool around where your main destinations are.
Yeah, you can do lots of different searches on times, locations, ratings even. You know, what's the hottest ratings and what's seasonal and what's going on, current events.
Great, thanks very much.
You bet, thank you.
Right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Whitney in Arlington. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
My sister and I have a perfectly fine sense of smell, but we have never been able to smell skunks. And I was wondering if there was an explanation for this.
And you know for a fact that you've been in the presence of skunk smell.
Yeah, plenty of times.
Because people have told you.
Yeah, people think it's hilarious because I'll be totally fine and not smell a thing, and they're plugging their noses. So, and my parents can smell them fine, but we've never been able to smell them.
Both you and are you the only siblings?
Yeah, we're the only siblings, and both of us, we're the only ones we know of in our family who can't smell skunks, but we've been able to smell everything.
And there's nothing else that you've ever been told is an aroma that you can't smell.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't call it the smartest audience in radio for nothing. Let's see if we can get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Whitney. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. The telephone number is 800-933-5372. And, of course, the email inbox is... it's always open, often overflowing, but we get to as many of your questions and answers as possible. That's anything at kera.org. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. The email address, anything at kera.org. A couple more answers to get through here. Bill in McClendon-Chisholm is answering the question about why do we say uncle in surrender. And he says, I'd once read that using the word uncle to indicate surrender stems from ancient Rome. The article stated that uncles were held in high regard in the Roman family hierarchy. Therefore, using the word was meant as a sign of respect to the winner. So I'm sure there are many more explanations out there. But, Bill, right now, that's the only one we've got. In regards to last week, why it was 10 degrees or 9 degrees cooler in Fort Worth even than it was in Dallas, there was some suggestion that there's not much of an elevation difference. Well, Linda, whose signature says staff geologist here in Dallas, begs to differ. Linda says, I don't know about the weather exactly, but the caller said he did not think there was much elevation difference between the two cities. She says, this is a searchable item. It took about 2 seconds for me to find that Fort Worth is listed as having an elevation of 700 feet above sea level, while Dallas is merely at 420 feet. She says, this surely will add fuel to the rivalry fire that's been going forever between Dallas and Fort Worth. Ed sent a very lengthy explanation about the red light, the white lights on traffic intersection lights, and whether or not, how they're used by a police officer. And a correction to what I said, which is well taken, Ed, that the officer has to be at a right angle or close to it to be able to testify that you ran the red light. So the lights are aimed at the right angle, not necessarily so that the officer can hide from you. He says the officer must see your wheels where they touch the ground while sighting along the boundary line of the intersection. Ed says courts have held that an officer seeing the tires in line with the direction of traffic cannot accurately say when the tires cross the boundary of the intersection. It's because most traffic markings are not on the boundary of the intersection, and a human cannot accurately gauge relative distances. Therefore, having those white lights in a position where an officer can ascertain if the red light is lit while at right angles to the traffic flow is necessary for issuing a defendable citation for running a red light. Thank you very much, Ed. There was a question about why a mosquito can transmit West Nile and other viruses but not HIV. And Mark, who writes from a university medical center here in Dallas, thank you, Mark, says there are several reasons why mosquitoes cannot transmit HIV from one person to another. The amount of HIV in an infected person's bloodstream is relatively low when compared to, for example, the amount of West Nile virus in an infected bird's bloodstream. Once ingested by the mosquito, HIV is unable to reproduce, and so the virus will die. He adds other diseases which are transmitted human to human by mosquitoes are not spread by simply injecting the first person's blood into the second person by the mosquito's biting parts. These diseases, such as yellow fever, malaria, etc., are spread because the microbe is able to reproduce inside the mosquito and then infiltrate the mosquito's salivary glands. The bug expresses saliva to make the biting easier, and thus the saliva is penetrated into the person during the act of biting, and this is how the microbe is passed to the next person, from the saliva and not from the prior person's blood. Thank you so much, Mark. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Marilyn in Irving. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hello, guys. There was a question about why CB radios have gone out of fashion, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Every 7 years, the sun puts on a big array of sunspots. It's roughly 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the 70s craze ended with the big storms, the storms.
It interfered with the radio traffic.
On that frequency, yeah.
Hmm. And so people just put them in the garage and stopped using them.
Yep, that's what they did.
It sounds like you have a contributor there with you.
Oh, my grandson.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks very much for your call.
Yes, sir. Take care. 800-933-5372.
Up next is Anita in Dallas. Hello, Anita.
Hello, Jeff. I was wondering, I understand that there was a to-do made of this year's summer solstice coming on June the 20th for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and I know not how long, except I was under the impression that we had had a June 20th solstice in 96 and probably 2000 and 2004. I could be wrong about that, but I would love some enlightenment. I'm guessing that perhaps it was designated that way because it was on Greenwich Mean Time that it was still the 20th, and I wondered if somebody in the audience had the answer to that one.
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Chris in Carrollton. Hello, Chris.
Hi. First of all, it's a great program that you have.
Oh, thank you.
It's a really, really wonderful and got a lot of information. But anyway, quickly to my question. My question is, we, as a family, we got three people, my wife and my kitten. We are planning to make a trip to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is we are not carrying a camping or equipment, or we don't have an RV. We're looking to stay in a place where they have waterfalls and stuff like that, where I can rent a tent.
Okay, so you want like a shelter or a cabin or something like that?
Yes. For about 2 or 3 days, and
right.
There are some waterfalls and stuff like that up there.
In Arkansas, right?
In Arkansas.
Okay.
And we looked at it on the internet, and just so much, and I don't understand. It says a lot of stuff like, you know, camping available, no hookups and things like that. We're not a big camping.
Right. Well, the one resource that is really helpful is nps.gov. It's the National Park Service website.
NPS?
NPS for National Park Service.
NPS,
and
okay.
You can actually, there's a drop down there. You can search by state. You can pull up a map and click on the state you're going to and find the parks that are there.
Okay.
But each state also will have a parks and wildlife, department.
Right.
That will manage the state parks. And,
okay.
And they're really, really helpful if you just find the contact number and call them.
Okay.
The rangers at the national parks and the state parks, I mean, they're really excited when you call and ask questions about what kind of facilities they have available. And I'm sure they'll be happy to help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Eugene in Grandview says, a friend of mine hauls buildings on an 18-wheeler. I quickly called him. On his trailer, the last 8 feet can hydraulically drop to the ground for buildings to slide on and off. A chain track runs the length of the trailer floor to move the buildings back and forth on the trailer. I think we got that one nailed down. Amy in Plano says, regarding the antenna for digital converter box, she says, I set up a digital to analog converter box without an outdoor antenna, though I did have to buy a slightly more advanced indoor antenna, maybe one that can receive a digital signal, than my rabbit ears, she says. I was able to get the new antenna for less than $20, though there were, of course, fancier ones available. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ken in Dallas. Hello, Ken.
Hi, I'm calling about the question about brown bags on alcohol.
Sure.
That's a common myth, but there's no law in Texas that requires that. I've been selling alcohol for 25 years in Texas, and people think it's true, but it's not.
Is it come from store owners who maybe started their career in another
where it probably comes from, I don't know how long you've been in Texas, but back in the...
The whole time, pretty much.
Okay, do you remember back in the 60s when if you went to a bar, you had to bring your own bottle?
Sure.
And they put your name on the bottle?
I don't directly remember, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, as a very young child.
Sure.
So they probably didn't want to be seen carrying a bottle into the bar. So maybe that's what they did.
So it probably did originally have some sort of moral reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the technical term for those small brown bags, those are sipping sacks.
Sipping sacks. All right, Ken. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A couple more questions. Ann in Irving wants to know if there's any product that will rid a lawn of Johnson grass, those little weed pulling things, but it's a lot of work. But we'll ask too if there's a product out there. Jim wants to know if there's any place to buy TV remote controls with simple functions for someone who has had a stroke. I think they do have like the big button. They have the phones and they have the TV remote controls. I'll bet that any occupational therapy or physical therapy department at wherever your doctor or the person's doctor or hospital is, they can probably aim you in the right direction on that. But we'll also take any suggestions. Thomas in Fort Worth says, I picked up my wife from Love Field the other day. I noticed that the pre-recorded announcement sounded familiar. The male voice sounded exactly like the man who does the Shape of Texas feature. Are they the same person? On a related note, Thomas says, what is the music used in The Shape of Texas? The website doesn't seem to list it. Bruce in Frisco wants to know why bleach will turn some colors white but some not. He says, I have sheets that I bleach and the color doesn't run or whiten. I have some white shirts that have patterns on them that are okay to bleach. I just don't get it. And let's see, Paul in Dallas writes, I've heard that some gas stations have better quality gas than others and affect making your car run better. Is this true, or is there any reason for this? If, in fact, there are stations that provide better quality gasoline, what stations would they be? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Keith in Garland. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes, go right ahead.
Really enjoy your show.
Oh,
first time caller.
Thanks very much.
Listen, I've got a question concerning non-alcoholic beer. I know you had a question a minute ago about brown bag and alcohol that's being sold.
Right.
I quit drinking 3 or 4 years ago, but I still periodically, like the taste of beer, and I'll go buy a six-pack of O'Doul's, some type of non-alcoholic beer.
Sure.
If you're pulled over with non-alcoholic beer, is it still considered illegal? Because I think it's got like 0.5% alcohol in it.
Right. And you're referring to the open container law in Texas.
No one can have
an open alcoholic beverage in a vehicle.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a great question, Keith. I'm sure we often, there are all kinds of law enforcement folks and attorneys and people out there listening, so someone will probably have an answer or will have dealt with this situation.
And the other, I had one, I think you might have already gotten an answer on the left-handed question as far as the presidents go. I wasn't sure. I didn't.
No, we didn't really. I think I've got one in the stack here, but go right ahead.
I really didn't have an answer for it, but maybe I misheard the question. I kind of took offense being a left-handed person. Maybe I didn't hear the question correctly, but just had a quick comment that both my wife and I are left-handed. And it really seems to be true as far as the description they have about left-handed people using their right brain more and being more creative.
I think the emailer actually was wondering, what left-handed presidents there have been and if there is an advantage to candidates who are left-handed run.
Okay.
And Mara actually, while I get you on the phone here, Mara in Dallas sent us an answer from Wiki Answers. That James Garfield, the 20th, Herbert Hoover, the 31st, Harry Truman, the 33rd, Gerald Ford, the 38th, Ronald Reagan, the 40th, George H.W. Bush, the 41st, and Bill Clinton, the 42nd, according to this, were left-handed.
Okay.
So it seems to have been a pretty good advantage in the last few decades.
Well, I guess the only thing I caught was something about the only advantage left-handed people have is at toll booths and playing baseball.
Oh, well, I will apologize for that email.
That's okay.
All right.
That's okay.
Thanks, Keith.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Also from the answer stack, last week there was the question about making a lake, how it gets done. And Dale in Dallas says, to make a lake, you just dam up a river. There's very little, he says, site preparation necessary. And in fact, they leave all the trees to make good hiding places for the fish. He says, however, you do have to survey carefully so you'll know where the water is going to go. And you have to move people off if their homes are within the projected lake area. Then you have to turn off all their utilities and make sure they don't have any toxic waste that will get into the water. 800-933-5372. Up next is Sky in Dallas. Hello, Sky.
Hi, yeah. I have a question about the presidential approval rating. I remember about 10 years ago, I guess it was 10 years ago, my political science professor was giving a lecture on how you need to be really leery of statistics. And one of the examples that she gave is the presidential approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that it is all of the voters, and there's a survey of all of the voters, and what they say is the presidential approval rating. But what she said is that the presidential approval rating is actually a survey of the people only who voted for that president. So it's actually the approval rating of the people who voted him into office.
So they call a sample of people and they say, did you vote for so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
And then if yes, how do you approve of their performance right now or not?
Right. And I think that that's kind of an important distinction if it is all of the voters or if it is just the people who voted for that person. Because if they were already inclined to agree with that, elected official and their approval rating is very low, then that kind of gives an indication that even people who originally were aligned with that person, that even they're not satisfied.
Are you asking if that is indeed the case?
I'm asking, how is presidential approval rating figured out?
I always thought that a polling organization or a news organization would hire a polling organization, and they called like 600 people and said, you know, because I get calls, and, you know, about, and of course, you know, as a media member, I decline to participate in those polls. But they say, you know, can you, do you approve of this? Do you approve of that? Et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't seem to be based on whether or not I voted for that official. Maybe someone who's had a polling call in the last few months will call us and tell us how it went. But I've always been in the impression that they just call a sampling of the population and ask them. And it's, you know, it's a sample of people, but it's certainly not 300 million people.
Is it people who voted, or is it anyone?
Well, let's ask and see if we can get an answer for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I would say, Sky, one thing to consider is that they're still polling people on landline telephones. And this is a factor that a lot of media organizations are looking at in the coming election, because they're calling people on the home phone, and a lot of people don't have home phones anymore.
That's very true.
So it's one other thing to think about when you look at polling data, I guess. But we'll ask and see if someone can give us a better answer.
Okay, thank you.
And let's see. Let's talk next to a very patient Joy in Burleson. Hello, Joy.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I have a vine in my, because I'm starting a grape a vineyard,
mm-hmm.
and it has anthracnose. And I wanted to know if any caller out there knew a good treatment for it, because I've tried everything out there possible that I know of. And
it's some sort of disease that the vine gets?
Yes.
And what's it called?
Anthracnose.
Anthracnose. Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we can answer for you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's anything you ever wanted to know. You can call us with your questions and answers at 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions and answers to anything@kera.org. And we've got stacks. We've got lots of people. Oh, here's one question. Last week we had the question about why do they paint earth-moving equipment yellow. And Diane in Fort Worth says, I talked to a local producer of earth-moving equipment, and he said there was no special reason other than that the yellow paint is the cheapest industrial-grade paint that's available. So, your questions, your answers, after a quick break. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. Email address, anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from Megan, who, it says Megan at Half Price Books on here, so I think this is going to be the definitive answer. Megan says, hello, the original Half Price Books was in a converted laundromat in a small strip mall on Lover's Lane, west of Inwood. They later moved to a larger location, and today, she adds, more than 35 years later, Half Price Books has 100 stores across the country. Let's see, Judah says, we all get the horrible spam email with medication, etc. When I get these emails, is there a way to find out if they have sent my email address and name out to billions of mad computer users, or does the email just mirror whatever email address it is going to? Mary in Bedford says, I saw a trailer for the movie Australia, which is going to be released later this year. Some of the music in the trailer is taken from another film score, but I can't figure out which one. She says it begins 50 seconds into the trailer and runs for about 30 seconds. I found the trailer online and checked the times. Can someone please tell me which score this is? From the answer stack, this is last week's question about airlines selling drinks and whether they'll really make any money or not. We had it at the end of the hour. And Wilson writes, the bigger issue is the weight of the beverage. With high jet fuel costs, the airlines are looking very carefully at the overall weight of their airplanes. By decreasing the demand of beverages, the airline will carry less and will weigh less. Regarding checking your mineral rights, Thomas in Crowley says there's no easy way to check your mineral rights. mineral rights, rather. He says that's what we landmen do. The title company is not insuring mineral rights, so they pay little attention to that. The caller needs to go to the county courthouse and examine every deed going back to at least 1910, which is about when mineral rights began to be severed from the surface rights. The caller is also, Thomas says, welcome to hire a landman, of which there will be many at the area courthouses. Let's see. CB Radio answer from Ben. After CB radio faded from popularity in the 70s, he writes, it became the domain of truckers for road condition info for a few years, then became more obscure as cell phones became commonplace. Now it's pretty much relegated to hobby activity using high-power amplifiers, mainly by CB old-timers. They use a lot of unintelligible shouting at each other, often with echo effects, to create a bizarre atmosphere of radio broadcasting where everyone talks and no one listens, Ben says. Listening to the CB frequencies, 27 megahertz these days, is like a carnival wasteland, not unlike listening to several televangelists, he adds, at the same time. He says there are also key down contests held between mobile CBers to see who can generate the most radio power. He says Google key down contest for a look into this bizarre activity. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Up next is Lauren in Keller. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, I have a question, and it may be really unusual or hard to understand.
Well, you wouldn't be the first.
There is a Austin independent sort of pop rocker who was a female, and she was really, really popular. Whose name completely escapes me, but she did have a crossover album, and the video for this album, it was a love ballad, and the video for this album was one where it was a jukebox, like if you were looking at the different albums in the jukebox to pick a song, and it was flipping through the pages of the jukebox songs, and each one would show her in a different, you know, posture.
That was sort of the video of her hit song.
Right.
Okay.
And that's all I remember, that it was a love ballad, and it was, you know, one of these, I can't eat, I can't breathe when I'm around, you know.
Right. And she was from Austin.
She was from Austin.
And when was she active?
I would say all through the 90s.
Okay.
And early 2000, I want to say.
Well, someone will have an answer, I'm sure.
Great.
Okay.
Thank
you. If not this week, then maybe next week, okay?
Okay. Wonderful. Right. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Matt in Fort Worth. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Love the show.
Oh, thanks.
Well, and I got a question about maybe somebody that's a competitor. I'm wondering what has happened to Paul Harvey, appearing guest people.
Yeah, I heard Ron Chapman filling
Ron
in.
Ron Chapman,
yeah.
and Paul Harvey Jr. and somebody else at one time. I haven't heard Paul Harvey in months.
Yeah, I have no idea. Someone will know. Someone will call us or email us with an answer.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Line open, 800-933-5372. And up next is Gary in Dallas. Hello, Gary.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had an answer about the question about better quality gasoline.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, well, there's really no such thing. It's, I mean, you wonder why you pay more at, like, name brand stations as opposed to some of the off stations. But it's because of the additives that they put in there. I mean, if you go to one of the big names like Shell or Exxon or Mobil, they put their own, like, detergents and
right.
additives and things like that to, like, make you pay more. But the gas itself is the same gas that you may be buying for 2 or 3 or 4 cents less at a knockoff station. That just doesn't have those additives.
It just doesn't. Okay. Well, very good.
In fact, I had a friend who was a petroleum engineer, and he rotates through like Shell, Exxon, Mobil every 6,000 miles because he says even their additives begin to build up as junk. And then when you switch to a new brand, that new additive thinks the old additive was junk and cleans your engine. So he said he rotates his gas every 5,000 to 6,000 miles.
Okay. Well, so, Gary, thanks very much.
You bet.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Christine says, I'm planning a reception at work and need advice for the wine. We plan to serve Mediterranean food like dolmas, olives, roasted vegetables, etc. First of all, Christine, write back immediately and tell us where and when to be there because Jeannie Mascoro is smiling and looking at me. She says, Christine asks, must I serve red wine with this or is white wine acceptable? I've been advised to avoid red wine due to stains, but red would seem to complement this food more. And apparently, and this is a new name, I think, for Jeannie Mascoro, the Dolma Queen apparently has a suggestion. Jeannie?
A lot of good Lebanese wines would go really well with that. The Greek Retsina wines would go good with it as well.
Okay.
And there's absolutely no rule about white wine versus red.
Very
Whatever
good.
Whatever suits your fancy.
Very good. Thanks very much.
All right.
And, of course, if you have suggestions, you can email us anything at KERA.org or call us at 800-933-5372. And another question, and actually I may have gotten to the bottom of the stack of questions, folks. It may be the first time we've ever done this. Sean says, I walked downstairs one morning to find flies, a lot of flies, in our living room window behind the blinds. He says, I vacuumed them up, dumped them outside in the dumpster. Later that night, the windows were filled with flies again. The cycle has repeated itself for 2 days, and my wife and I are freaked out. Is there a specialist or pest professional out there who can tell us what to do? It says, do flies have nests or hives? Where could they be coming from? We checked the windows, and they are sealed tight, and we moved every piece of furniture in the room to look for any infestation and found none. If no one can help us, we'll have to call up. He says, we may have to call a priest to perform an exorcism. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at KERA.org. Up next is Alex in Irving. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Outside of Turtle Creek, or actually right on Turtle Creek and right in front of the Exxon Mobil headquarters in Irving, mm-hmm. there are these lovely waterways. And instead of having waterfalls to drain them, they have these giant 8 to 10-foot holes that are – surprisingly, I guess, are kind of interesting. I'm wondering if anyone knows the history of these, the construction of them.
They're like holes in the middle of the lake.
That then
fills from all sides and kind of goes down to the...
Yeah, and then it drains off to the next waterway underneath or past the next road. So,
okay.
There we go.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Okay.
800-933-5372. If you have an answer to that, you can also email us anything at KERA.org. And Frederick in Dallas writes and says, I worked for the Gallup poll during college and for political campaigns. He says, if you don't vote, your opinion does not matter. Polling firms and candidates want information from people that are likely to vote. They ask a few screening questions like, are you registered to vote? Did you vote in the last presidential election or the previous major election? The sample then creates the list of likely voters. In most cases, the poll is not strictly about presidential approval rating. It's attached to a list of other questions about specific issues. If someone like a newspaper or television station is doing it, it usually includes current events like have you changed driving patterns with the higher price of gas, et cetera, et cetera. Adam, who is at a TCU's Department of Political Science, thank you, Adam, for writing us, all commercial and media polling firms take a random sample of the adult population to determine presidential approval. As a political science professor myself, he says, I'm highly dubious of your caller's claim that a professor told her that respondents are screened by whether they voted for the president. As for your concern about landline calls, public opinion scholars have noted that while cell phone-only citizens tend to skew younger than the population as a whole, they don't differ from other young voters in any meaningful way. Thus, it is easy for polling firms to correct for any bias statistically, and it is not considered a major problem yet. Thanks very much for both of those answers. Dean says, in regards to the non-alcoholic beer and open container law, he says, first off, I'm not of any legal position, but being 20 only 6 months ago, I do think it might be illegal to have said drink open in your car. He says, I would try to purchase non-alcoholic beer in a restaurant, but was denied because I was not 21, because there is still, quote, some alcohol in the container. Kendra, writing from, Dallas, says, regarding the question from the gentleman who asked where he should take his family vacation in Arkansas, Kendra says, I went to the University of Arkansas and enjoyed the outdoors there regularly. Try Devil's Den, located in northwest Arkansas in the Ozarks. It's beautiful, and it will have all that you need, waterfalls, cabins, etc. So Devil's Den. And the Australia Film Score question, this is from Mark. He says, the 20th Century Fox has confirmed to upcoming film scores that David Hirschfelder is the composer who's writing the original score for Baz Luhrmann's eagerly awaited epic Australia, starring Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman. 800-933-5372. Up next is Matthew in Fort Worth. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Are two questions fair game?
Uh-huh.
Okay. First one, seedless grapes. I was thinking of growing some, but then I thought, am I going to have to replant them next year? Like, how do you get the seeds to grow them again? And then the second question.
Well, they grow from a vine, which is, you know, once the vine is established, the grapes will grow from the vine every year.
Hallelujah.
Sure. That's
great. The second one is pagers. Prank paging has been a problem with our pagers at our office, mm-hmm. and we can't figure out, is there such a pager with an ID system or a way to investigate where these calls come from, or are they just kind of always mysterious, never knowing who initiates the page?
Like caller ID for pagers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll ask, and we likely won't get an answer this week, but maybe next week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. And a couple more answers from the inbox. Maybe we can get to a couple more callers. Let's see. Regarding the brown bag, David says, liquor stores use brown bags to show that the liquor will be consumed off-site. For example, it is illegal to consume because it is illegal to consume the liquor in the store area. Joel in Dallas says, the music for The Shape of Texas is Perpetuum Mobile, performed by Penguin Cafe Orchestra on their Signs of Life album. He says, I'm not sure they are the composer. Topic two, he says, I thought there was a Texas state law that alcohol had to be put in a brown bag before leaving the merchant, but I have nothing to back that up on. I think Ken's call trumps that one. Joe Cazera, the operations assistant and program coordinator right here at KERA 90.1, apparently listening down the hall. Thank you, Joe. Says the announcer and producer of The Shape of Texas is Bill Clough, C-L-O-U-G-H. Joe says he was the news director of the NPR affiliate in Corpus Christi in 2005 and produces The Shape of Texas at South Texas Public Broadcasting in Corpus Christi. So thanks very much, Joe, for that. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls at 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Carrie in Dallas. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I have an answer in response to the question regarding fabric being bleached.
Okay.
It has to do with the natural versus and or synthetic fibers in the fabric. The synthetic ones are super hard to bleach out because the dye is usually put in when the thread is being made.
So if you have a cotton shirt but it has a little blue thingy in it, that blue thingy is probably synthetic.
Well, no, that is totally, that varies. If it's a polyester cotton blend.
Like a 50-50,
really
something like that.
Yeah, okay. It'll vary completely. Yep.
Very good.
We'll bleach. Yep. Okay.
Thanks very much. And let's see, really quickly, let's work in Terry in Dallas. Hello, Terry.
Hello, how you doing today?
Doing well.
I just had an email for that lady that called in about the grapevines.
Okay.
But that's the anthracnose that she said she had on them. I don't know if that's the correct diagnosis for that plant. I've never heard of anthracnose on me. I've been in this business for 30 years.
Oh, okay. In the grape growing business?
Well, no, the tree and shrub.
Oh, okay.
That kind of business. I treat for that kind of stuff. She can take any fungicide and spray that. You can't, if it is anthracnose, you can't spray it and get rid of it on infected leaves. What you do is try to control it and keep it from spraying. You have to, go ahead.
Sure, and what's the best way, and we're almost out of time here, but what's the best way for her to get it diagnosed properly?
Take a section of a vine, not just the leaves, a section of the vine, maybe a foot, a foot and a half,
uh-huh,
to a nursery or a certified nursery person.
Okay. Terry, thanks very much. We got to go, but thanks very much for your call.
Yeah. All right.
Anything You Ever Wanted to Know is produced by yours truly. Our engineer is Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you, Jeannie. Today, Brandilyn Barnett, our assistant producer, also answered the phones. Thank you, Brandilyn. And we had production assistance from Emily Cox. Thank you very much, Emily. You can download episodes of the show at KERA.org and sign up while you're there for the free weekly podcast. And, of course, send your questions and answers, comments, suggestions, send it all to anything at KERA.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great weekend.